So welcome. I'll introduce myself. So good afternoon. Thank you for coming to our session. My name is Emily McAvoy. I am Director of Data and Assessment at Anchor Bay School District, which is in Macomb.
And I'm John Thero. I'm the Curriculum Director in South Lake Schools, so I'm in charge of K-12 curriculum and technology and some of the things like that. And you know, we're kind of coming together. Emily and I did a presentation like this back in the spring at the MIRA conference because we were kind of working together on, you know, how to use AI to make messy data analysis a little bit more efficient. And so that's what we're going to be going over today.
And I would just add that, you know, one reason why John and I were talking a lot about this, and really the MIRA board, is because there is a lot of information out there about AI in classrooms, about you know, how teachers can use it, how students can use it, but we weren't really hearing a lot of conversation about district leaders and how it can help us save time in doing some of our management, especially when you are asked to, you know, grab a bunch of messy data from somewhere and then do something with it, and it was never cleaned or organized to do what they now want to do with it, right? So it gets a little messy, and it can be very time consuming. Who's scrubbed data before, right? Especially when it's narrative. No thank you, I'd rather not do that. So that's why we started having quite a bit of conversation around how could we use some tools. John and I are lucky because, well, I guess you could say, I don't know, some people would disagree, but we're lucky because we have Microsoft 365. And the reason why I say it's lucky, I don't know about all of, you know, what it offers, but Copilot in our districts, because we have Office 365, we have Copilot behind the enterprise. And so it's much more secure. So you have a layer of security that you're in, and John can talk more technical about this, but you're kind of like in a bubble. So when we post things inside our enterprise into Copilot, it's not going out to the entire world because there's an extra layer of protection. So I think that's why we've been able to kind of play around a little bit more with data analysis. Of course, we're still very cautious of what we upload to it, even though we know we have that protection. And, you know, it's a little bit different than going out to like ChatGPT or even general Copilot that's out there, you know, on the internet, and you just kind of start asking questions. It can get a little bit dicey.
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, when you pay for, I guess you get what you pay for.
Right.
You know, Microsoft puts out a version of Copilot for free that anybody can use. When you have a tenant and you have their, what they call data purview, you can actually put data in there, such as social security numbers, and tell Microsoft, will analyze everything that you have in your system, and it won't let any sensitive data outside of the system. So when you have a Copilot license inside of a tenant, and you go to the Copilot screen, someone in the public, they just have one view. We have like a work tab and a public tab. So anything you do within that work tab is then kept within your tenant. So, you know, you can, I still haven't taken the step to actually use stuff that includes student names within my tenant, just because, you know, I trust, but I don't trust that much. But you know, it does allow you to be a little bit more open, and if you've got things configured properly, you can actually prevent your data. You know, it will pull data off of a remote machine. If you tell it, I don't want my data on that machine anymore, Microsoft services will pull that data right off that computer and actually brick the computer if you own it. So it makes it a lot more secure. I think everybody knows who we are, other than that picture's probably 16 years old. So data analysis tools have been using AI for many years. You know, I was thinking about this recently. You know, everybody remembers those, probably 15 years ago, we were doing word clouds. That was also a version of artificial intelligence. It was just measuring the amount of times a word, you know, popped up in a narrative. We're doing something very similar with AI. And whether you use, I've never used Google Looker Studio, but I have used, you know, I do use Power BI all the time. We use Power Apps all the time. I've played with Claude and Gemini and Copilot. They all have their own things that they're probably better at and do different things. But the bottom line is if it can make us more efficient, because kids nowadays, I mean, they think that they can just shove something in the machine and it'll come out. So we can be more efficient. The more information we give the AI model, the better the result for us.
And I think it's interesting in how, you know, it's like all these separate entities have been really pushing AI. I mean, you can't really go to a website without someone saying, hi, why are you here? Can I help you? Right? And all those little pop-ups that are happening. But if you really stop and think about, especially if you've been in data analysis for a long time and you've been using even Excel for things, there has been this behind the scenes AI stuff that's been in there, Power BI, Tableau, if you've used any of them, you know, especially when they start using, like doing projections of things off of the data, like all of that is very, it kind of blurs the lines of when did AI really come to the forefront. Now we know it's kind of in your face, but it's been around for years in different capacities. So John, if you go to the next slide, as we were talking about this, we were trying to really try to find a framework to really think about it because of that blur. And so this was something that they were actually using to evaluate K-12 like computer science curriculum. And I really found it interesting as John and I were having conversations and kind of exploring this idea of, you know, how he's using it, how I'm using it, how we could possibly use it in the future. We started talking about, like, how do you really, you know, like, what is the stages? What's the data life cycle? And where does AI come into play or could come into play to help assist with that information? And so we saw this and we thought, okay, well maybe this would help kind of frame our conversation around this. And John, I'll let you, because I think you kind of talk about some of these pieces.
So, you know, this was actually probably about a year ago we were having these conversations because I was doing a lot of work in Power BI and Power Apps, mostly on academic data. You know, I was creating reports and filters and slicers that my principals and my superintendent could use. And we were kind of talking about, you know, discipline is always a hot topic in schools, and whether kids are giving up their phones or whether they're disrespectful to a teacher. And we had all this log entry data. And Emily was using log entry data and kind of trying to explore log entry data with discipline. And so as we started, you know, talking about this, you know, we've got log entry data that's already in there, but it's not really categorized. It's oftentimes really messy. It's a narrative that somebody, whether they were having a good day or a bad day, might be really descriptive or might have next to nothing in it. But, you know, first of all, we had to collect it. We had to pull it out of PowerSchool. And then we had to, you know, look at the structure of it. And then we kind of had to prepare it, and that's probably the slog. You know, we had to go through and make sure that student names didn't show up at it anywhere. At least in PowerSchool, we both discovered that when you pull out this data from the PowerSchool SIS and then you import it into Excel, whenever there was a particular,
special
for me
character.
it was the semicolon, whenever there was a semicolon, it broke the cell and it put the remainder of the entry in the cell below it. So if someone loved semicolons, it turned one log entry into six log entries.
My favorite was enter. I had a, and quotes, because they, you know, some people like to quote people when they're putting in discipline behavior. So quotes just killed it. It would like just, I mean, you would have one entry that could end up on five lines in Excel. It was a lot of fun. Yep.
Yep, so that took a lot of time. You know, this, I don't know if I can do this, but this part is probably the longest part of the whole process, is just making sure that your data is in a structure that you could upload into the AI model to actually start to ask it some questions. So I went back to our admin meeting and I told them all that the semicolon was banned. From here forth, thou shalt not use the semicolon. And you will always use, you know, student initials. It didn't work because I've, you know.
Nope.
It didn't work because we're still looking at that. You know, but once you had the data prepared, then you could kind of load it into that, you know, you can go into Copilot and you could just upload that file that you're confident that is clean, and then you can start asking it questions. And the more questions that we asked it, the more interesting it became, because, you know, you could look at multiple years of data and you could say, look for, you know, what are the trends that you see? And in a bunch of narrative data, it was able to identify trends that we certainly didn't necessarily see. Like, I didn't think about, well, you know, for like 5 years in a row, October was our, you know, worst month for discipline. What's going on? You know, so this year, you know, we purposely scheduled grade level meetings at the high school in October, because we knew that that tends to be when kids start to act a little bit squirrely. And now we're going to measure, well, did that have an impact?
Yeah, so just to give a little bit of a backstory, so what ended up happening is I said I was in Anchor Bay, but I didn't explain that this is my second year there. So last year, when I first started at Anchor Bay, one of my first asks from my superintendent was, can you look at behavior data? Because there was a lot of discrepancies with the board. The board wanted to know some information about behavior, and we were launching into a no cell phone policy for this year. And so we wanted to get a handle on behavior. And so they were using SWIS just briefly. And so there was some data in SWIS, but most of it lived in PowerSchool in the log entry field. So if you're familiar with that. So I pulled out 5 years of data in from PowerSchool, the log entries, and then I cleaned it up. And then what I found was, whoever decided, you know, for discipline to have other, that's not okay, right? Like, there was so many of them logged by other. What does other mean, right? So that's where it was like, how do we get into the log entry text and make sense of it? Because I don't know how to categorize other, right, without going through and reading each individual one. So that's where it was like, okay, how do we really make sense of this data? And then to be able to summarize it, give it back to people that have been in these buildings for years, knowing what it is, does it make sense? Did AI do it? So we were very transparent. I summarized the data. I said I had AI help me. I got permission from my soup. You know, I try to scrub it as much as I possibly could to take out names and teacher names. I limited what columns were uploaded. But I said to him, I said, if you want this data, then someone's going to have to summarize it, and it's not me. I don't know how I could read thousands of entries, right? So that's what ended up happening was, He was like, let's just try to scrub it. We had people look it over, try to make sure no names were in there, and then we ended up uploading it and having them summarize. And like John said, it's really interesting when it's like, you can call it or whatever, but when someone else summarizes it and you say, Copilot said this, let's look at it, there was some questions. And so then we went back into the data and we started realizing. So one example at the high school, it was saying how there was more attendance behaviors, but actually it was like the measures were pretty significant, but the overall number was much lower. So the interpretation, you know, had to be cleaned up a little bit. So we went back into the data, looked at it, and then we realized why AI had, like, you know, hit, like, hey, what's going on here, you know, type thing. So it was really interesting. And the administration team appreciated it because they hadn't looked at that data in a long time, especially that close to the log entry information.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was more about the log entry data came out, and to Emily's point, it's not categorized very well. And so we started asking AI to categorize each log entry. And at first, it did a horrible job. It would come up with these weird categories. And so then you had to just start to define, I want you to define every log entry using the categories that I'm telling you. It still didn't do it properly. I had to ask it like 3 or 4 times. But the more you interacted with the AI, the better it would get, to where at least you were able to confidently say these categories are, in general, you know, what the log entry is about. You know, this year, you know, we moved away. We used to use Swiss as well. We moved away from Swiss, and we actually created a Power app, and so the categories are predefined, so we don't have to worry about the categories this year. So now it's within those categories, what do those log entries mean? You know, like defiance, we were just talking about, you know, I've got a large number of you know, referrals that from the teachers that indicate defiance. Well, what does defiance mean? So now I can have Copilot summarize what, in their words, defiance means, and then you can start having conversations about what that means, what we can do about it, how we can either create better relationships, or how do we prevent some of these things from happening.
Yeah, and I would say, like, another thing that's interesting, you know, like, the categories, I think, really help. Like, as John was just talking, it was making me think about a conversation I just had with our district improvement folks, right? So we're trying to, you know, revise some stuff in MyKIP. I'm sure there's many in the room maybe that are doing the same thing. And when you bring in your groups of teachers to talk about continuous improvement, and you know, I don't know if you write down all the things you're doing, like, it becomes this laundry list of things, right? Like, when you're trying to collect information. And so she had all these sticky notes, and she's like, how am I gonna categorize this into groups of things? And so I said, well, can someone type all of that out? And then we'll ask AI to categorize it into groups and try to summarize and make nice buckets, so then we can think about how do we then put that into MyKIP strategies and, you know, whatever else. So again, it's just trying to take a tedious process and try to get it to a place that then we can have the machine do the heavy lift of that prep work or prep data. And then what's nice is, you know, when you get that list of categories, and you look at maybe what their suggestions are, then you adjust it and say, no, I want this, and I want this to be here, and I want this to be there. So, like, another example, we're implementing a PowerSchool analytics tool. It's called PowerSchool Analytics and Insight. And every course, I'm talking, we have probably, like, from, like, when we started PowerSchool, every course we have in PowerSchool, it's like 5,000 courses. I have to have a department attached to that course. I didn't do it. AI did it for me. And then I had groups of departments, and I said, is this right? Are these classes in the right place? And then we had a bunch of people double check and make sure that those courses were in the right place. So it's, again, like, the hours of time that it would have spent for me to do things or someone else, we're just trying to streamline it. And some of it, I mean, who cares if they see a course name, right? I mean, what does that matter? That's pretty protective, so.
So as you...
Yeah, and we could go on. Like, lots of examples. If you need examples of how we use it, just let us know, because yep. John and I both have quite a few.
And I think that the integration of data is a huge, as we grow in this, I think the data connections are where so much power comes into it. One of the really cool tools in Power BI has right now that they're developing is an AI tool where you can, I created this thing where it's like a College Board predictor. So I have all my College Board data from probably 4 or 5 years in Power BI, and then I've also got attendance data. And I've got ethnicity, I've got free and reduced lunch data. And I could say, tell Power BI, look at my reading scores in College Board and look at my attendance and ethnicity and other at-risk factors. And it will look at those and then tell me which of those has the greatest impact. So it's able to then estimate, I forget exactly what it was, if we reduced if our average kid attended school like 1.5 more days, it estimated that our reading score in College Board tests would go up by like 15 points. Now, I don't completely trust that yet because I'm a small school. I've only got 4 years worth of data with kids that are taking College Board. You know, I've got 400 kids in my high school. But as the more data I get, the better that prediction becomes. So as you go through, you know, you prepare your data, you then throw it into AI and you implement a solution, and then you kind of redo that process again. You know, as the next year comes up, we're now refining that and asking different questions and seeing what other, you know, insights we can tickle up. Any questions at this point? This would be a good spot to.
Yeah, comments, questions? So we just wanted to add some things about the takeaway of, you know, kind of what we were thinking. Obviously, depending on your comfort, what tool you're using, no matter what tool, right, you want to limit the data that you share because you really don't know 100% where it's all going. So we definitely want to remove any student identifiable fields. You know, remember that if it's uploaded, it becomes public, especially if you're using an external tool and you don't have those security measures that we talked about earlier. And they're not all the same. It's fascinating. I mean, I would love to spend more time, but who has that time? But I've done it a couple of times that I've thrown something into one AI tool and thrown something, you know, the same thing in another AI tool, asked the same exact question, and got different things. So, and I know there's lots of people that have talked about that, and I think there was a couple other sessions actually at the testing conference too that have that were kind of talking in relation to that. So prompt is really important. And it's a skill that needs to be taught and practiced. If I would have taken screenshots of when I first started working in AI and the types of questions I asked at that time versus what I do now, it is night and day different because I've learned by, you know, over here at the beginning when I had to ask like 16 different questions to get to something because I was not very precise or clear or direct or whatever, right? Then now I've learned to really be specific and make sure that if it's categories, I give it them, you know, or if I see a pattern in something, I spell it out for them so that they're pulling that pattern, if that makes sense. So really trying to be specific, and I think about students and kids, and I have some nieces and nephews that are just starting in the workforce. And it's fascinating to talk to them about AI because a couple of them use it in their, in their jobs and stuff, and how everyone in their job like gravitates to them because they know they're AI users, and it's like so many people are fearful of it that they don't use it, and so these companies are loving these kids that actually can use it and get good information out of it, and it seems like they're taking almost like a leadership role just being out of college for a few months into these positions because they have that as, you know, as a skill. So it just makes me stop and think about, you know, how are we helping our students use it as well, which I know there's a lot of conversation around that too. So, but it's definitely a skill.
You definitely find that you have to refine the way that you prompt things. I mean, I remember when this first came out, just a few years ago, it was about February, and I asked it to write, you know, my wife a nice message for Valentine's Day. And it came out with this, you know, I didn't even give it her name. Oh, my, you know, my dearest, I love, you know, and I was like, she would never believe that I wrote this. But if I gave it a sample of my writing and said to do the same thing, it does a much better job. You know, the more information you give it, and the next time I did that, I said, you know, write this message for, by the way, my wife's name is Clay. You know, then that way, it, the more information it has, the better it gets.
Right.
Not at first. You know,
Johnny's like, recording. I'm going to tell her.
Like, not at first. Probably more often than she would like.
That's funny.
But again, you know, I think you just got to be careful because you can connect. I know you can connect ChatGPT to Power BI directly. And anything in that, you know, gets sucked into their public model. So you just want to be really careful with that. I think the prompt writing is really important. I know that, you know, we were at a conference last fall, and, you know, part of the project was, to, you know, we took some data, a research paper, and a prompt, and asked AI to create a slide deck for us, and it did a really good job. You know, the more information you have, I was like, oh, my God. Now, I still had to stand up there and present the slide deck, so I had to know what was in it and be knowledgeable about it. But the fact that I didn't have to create a slide deck, which doesn't really impact my efficiency or my, you know, how well I do my job at all, it just makes my job easier.
Yeah, and I think too that I think the key word there was a lot of information, right? There was multiple pieces that you uploaded, because I've tried to upload like a document and say, you know, translate this into a PowerPoint, and it did a horrendous job. I mean, it was just like, okay, I'm just gonna start over. Like, this is so bad, it's not even worth my time to try to fix it. So again, I think it just depends on what you're trying to, how much information you give it at the beginning. I am very impressed, I have to say this. If you have any old PDFs of anything, you know the old PDFs that are like the image? You try to highlight something and it's like the whole page lights up because it's an image. Does anyone have those? Mm-hmm. Our ISD, love them to death, but they are notorious for very old PDFs. So personalized curriculum, they had this very old PDF file that the special ed department wanted to use, but they wanted it to be clickable. Well, I didn't want to recreate it. AI did it, and they made it clickable in Word. So, you know, we had invoices. We sit on Mira board together, and so we had these invoices from conferences, and we wanted to see some trends for, like, food, just to save some money, because food is outrageous right now, right? So we're trying to reduce some foods if it's, you know, too much or whatever. All of it was a image. And so I gave them the invoices, because there was nothing on there that was, you know, okay. And I said, put this in Excel. It put it all in Excel except for one service charge at the bottom that it missed. It was unbelievable. 5 years, just there you go. There's all your food information. So it's just, it's amazing in how much time it can help with when it comes in relation to, you know, like any old stuff or data or, you know, anything that's messy and that takes forever to complete. Why don't you go to the next slide and we'll. So here's some example prompts that we used in relation to the behavior data that we were utilizing, in case you want that information for you. But you can see how, you know, we try to be specific on things. You learn as you go, obviously. And again, it's a skill that needs to be taught because the more information, as John said, the more information you give it, the better the result will be. So we have a hands-on activity. Everyone cross your fingers that this is going to work because of the internet here. So hopefully you can get to this. If you have the conference resource page open, you can go right to our section, and it's in there as well. So it's in both spots. But there is an Excel file in there. AI created it. So it's some of it's a little funky, but it's good. Okay, I'll fix it. And that's weird. I don't know why it's saying that, but I'll fix it in a second. So, and then when you get in there, hopefully pick your best AI tool. I want you to look at the data set first, obviously. Get familiar with what's in there, what should be uploaded, what shouldn't be uploaded. And then you can use your favorite AI tool and start doing some digging on how might you summarize some of this behavior data that you have access to. Can you check and see what they're saying that, is anyone else not using the QR code? Is it saying access denied? Or did anyone get in? Okay, let me, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know where. Is that saved in both of ours, or?
It's saved right there. Did anyone experience the Google user permissions update? Yeah, I think that's why this is happening. So I apologize. We'll fix it.
I want to share.
No, you want to go into.
Just the editor.
I guess. You just want to make sure you download it. Make sure you download it or make a copy of it, okay? Because it was view only, but for some reason, I don't know what's going on with Google permissions, but it's a pain. So maybe refresh, see if you can access it. Just please make sure you download it.
Yep, and if not, there is a copy of it in the conference folder. So
yes.
That might be the better place to go.
Want to go to the next slide because I think that gives them information. So here are the kind of the steps that we were thinking you could use once you get the data file. You could look at the file, make sure you're thinking about sensitive data. What would you choose to upload or delete or vice versa, whatever. Just make sure you kind of get a feel for what's in the file before you upload. Then find your tool. You can upload it, start asking it to summarize some of this. So you could see, insights, trends, outliers in the data set. What does AI discover about it? If you're at a table, I would recommend maybe using a couple different AI tools. Sometimes if multiple people hit Copilot at the same time, it kind of dies. So just so you're aware, that happened to us last time. So go ahead, take some time.
Yeah, we'll be walking around, and then we'll just kind of share out a little bit what people find at the end.
That's not the right. Hold on, let me turn this off. It's.
All right, so we just kind of wanted to check in on everybody and see how you did. Did anybody find anything interesting? I know Roseville's table found something interesting. So I don't know if we want to start with that. Did anybody anywhere find anything quirky or interesting that occurred?
We played around with using not just Gemini, but Copilot with the exact same prompt, same file, different numbers were coming out at us. So we ended up having to go into the file and kind of doing our own, not quite a pivot table, but going through and seeing who was right and who wasn't.
Who was right?
It was Gemini was actually correct. And interestingly enough, we went over to ChatGPT and they were agreeing with Gemini.
Nice.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
So Copilot gets the dunce cap for that data file.
That's awesome. What other observations did people have?
So after I did my first analysis with AI, one of the things it mentioned was severity of consequences may not be matching the severity of the behavior. So I asked a follow-up question. So show me a correlation between severity and consequences. And so you get those. If you read through, you can maybe come up with follow-up questions to, you know, go even farther into it, which I found pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Hold on one second. Did you have a hand raised?
Oh, no.
No? Okay, sorry.
Some of the log entries were made, like, during the middle of the night and, like, 1 in the morning and things like that. That's pretty crazy.
That doesn't happen in your school? It happens in my school district. Oh, yeah, I loved it. Like, that was, like, one of the, that's why I did that. I asked it to include it because I noticed in our data, in my district, that people were putting them in late. Like, I said to the person, when I saw who it was, I was like, why are you up at 1 o'clock? You're an admin. You need your sleep. Like, I am married to an admin. I was for, like, a long time. Now he's not an admin anymore. But I know the stress level. I'm like, you need your sleep. Go to bed. So, but what impact does that have?
Well, the impact could be like you're remembering it several hours later or even days later.
Exactly. And you don't know what time of the day it actually happened if they didn't change the incident time. So that was a huge piece that we were talking about. A lot of it is like anything, right? Like trying to look at your data and then how do we make it cleaner? Because it's as clean as the people that enter it. So we have to make sure that everyone's on the same page, that like John was saying earlier, what was the word? Defiant. What does defiant mean? Because to me, defiant might mean something different than another person. And so we got to make sure we're all on the same page.
The other thing that I have found this year is people don't like, Microsoft doesn't actually have like a time widget in Power Apps, so I had to create like 3 different drop downs. One for the hour, I didn't go to the minute, I did it every 5 minutes, and then a meridian. And if people weren't paying attention, they wouldn't, maybe they'd miss the meridian. So it would look like they entered it at 1 a.m. or the incident happened at 1 a.m., but it was just because they were doing it really fast and they didn't set it to p.m. And you couldn't do it, you know, I'd love to just, I'm like, unfortunately, school starts in the a.m. and ends in the p.m., so you have to have the choice.
Yeah, exactly. Any other observations?
Thank you. I'm just wondering if anybody else have the same similar experience as me, because I tried, I want to know about the quantitative analysis. I think if you calculate the sample frequency, I tried Gemini, Notebook, Alma, and Copilot. I think that does a really good job. But if I want to do a little bit more, like correlation coefficient, I tried Gemini, Notebook, Alma, and Copilot. They gave me 3 very different values. I think Copilot probably the right answer, but I haven't tried much, so I don't know if just my personal experience or anybody else has the similar experience.
So when you're doing more deeper analysis,
yeah,
you're finding like you're wondering which one's better to use. Okay. Did anyone do deeper analysis? I know Jeremy mentioned it. Jeremy, what were you using?
Gemini.
Because you were doing a coefficient too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, I didn't either. Like, oftentimes when I do that stuff, I'm usually in like Power BI or Excel, so I'm doing it there than AI. John, how about you? Have you?
Yeah, I've not asked an LLM to calculate a coefficient for me.
Yeah.
Never done that.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Anybody else?
Was there anything that, as you guys looked at the data file, that you excluded from uploading into the LLM? Oh, student. These aren't real people.
That's funny. Yeah, no, I mean, we do that intentionally. Did you happen to see that there were some names in some of the entries? Yeah, so again, you know, we tried to put some things in some places. So again, you just, you know, I mean, this is for fun, so, and that was all fake. And hopefully you cracked up on some of them, because I was laughing in some of the entries that it came up with, but yeah, you definitely want to make sure you know your data before you put it up, you upload it to somewhere, right? So, any other questions, comments? It sounds fascinating that some of you in this room are really using AI tools to do a lot of great things too. So, please, for the inside, I think it's 23, page 23. I don't know, even though they're not page numbered, I'm looking. But please put in, if you're doing some interesting stuff with AI, please submit a session request. We would love to have you come next year and present at the Michigan Testing Conference. So you can submit your proposal for a session. It's in there. It's on one of the later pages. So if you need help finding it, let me know. But please, if you're doing some cool things with AI, come in and share with us. This is just our information if you need to get a hold of us or anything. But thank you so much for coming. We appreciate your time. Hopefully you had a little bit of fun in using a tool maybe you haven't used before.
Thank you.